We come now to the appendix of Powerful Good News. This is somewhat technical, may not be very easy to listen to. It is an analysis of the difference between the Roman Catholic idea of justification and the New Testament idea. Number one, the Roman Catholic view sees justification administered exclusively by the Catholic Church through its sacraments. I'm going to make a number of quotations here from the Council of Trent documents in Philip Schaff, The Creeds of Christendom. I won't try to give all the page numbers because it might be wearying to the one who's listening, but I will indicate the quotations. Quote, the Roman Catholic Church and the Council of Trent said, the instrumental cause of justification is the sacrament of baptism, close quote. Again, quote, the sacrament of penance, close quote, is necessary to be administered by the same church. Also, quote, sacramental confession, sacerdotal absolution, fasts, alms, prayers, and the other pious exercises, close quote, are needed. In contrast, the New Testament teaches justification by faith in Christ alone, and the instrumentality is the Holy Spirit, not a church or hierarchy. Number two, the Catholic view of justification denies that the sacrifice of Christ restored the whole race of men to favor with God. Quote, though he died for all, yet all do not receive the benefit of his death, but those only unto whom the merit of his passion is communicated by the sacraments of the church. Again, close quote. In contrast, the Apostles' Good News Gospel says that legally, quote, all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, close quote. And again, quote, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Again, close quote. And again, quote, he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And last of all, quote, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world, close quote. That's Romans 3, 24, 5, 18, 1 John 2, 2, John 1, 29. Again, another quotation here from Scripture in Romans 5, 16, New English Bible. Quote, the judicial action following upon the one offense of Adam issued in a verdict of condemnation, but the act of grace following upon so many misdeeds issued in a verdict of acquittal. The issue of one just act is acquittal and life for all men, close quote. Romans 5, 16 and 18, New English Bible. Even Martin Luther and John Calvin were not able to see clearly this larger New Testament vision of what Christ accomplished on his cross, effectively dying for the whole world, not just for the elect. Number three, in Roman Catholic justification, the believer is not united to Christ through faith by the free imputation of the whole of Christ's righteousness, but God gradually infuses his soul with an inherent righteousness that is meritorious. Therefore, persevering Catholics, quote, will have truly merited eternal life, if so be, however, that they depart in grace, close quote. Quoting again from the Council of Trent. The gospel message recognizes, in contrast, that the believer never has an iota of merit in himself, nor any righteousness inherent in himself. Righteousness is only in Christ, and the believer receives it only by faith. But the Council of Trent can never truly provide assurance of salvation or of justification. There's always the nagging if that carries over until the very moment of death. Number four, the Council of Trent taught, quote, adults may convert themselves to their own justification by freely assenting to and cooperating with that said grace. Close quote. This, quote, anticipated grace of God, close quote, precedes justification and requires first, quote, a disposition or preparation which is followed by justification itself, close quote. The Council of Trent, chapters 6 and 7, list many items of preparation that the sinner must do before he can be justified. These are the things, they say, which precede justification, close quote. In contrast, the gospel message recognizes that man has no part whatever in his justification. He can make no preparation for it. He can do nothing to precede it. It was done wholly by Christ. And all the believer can do is to receive, accept, believe, appreciate the finished work of Christ and stop hindering this dynamic faith which wants to work obedience by love. Number 5. The Roman Catholic view encourages doubt and fear. Quote, each person, when he regards himself in his own weakness and indisposition, may have fear and apprehension touching his own grace, seeing that no one can know with a certainty of faith, which cannot be subject to error, that he has obtained the grace of God. Close quote. And again, quote, if anyone saith that it is necessary for everyone for the obtaining of remission of sins, that he believe for certain that his sins are forgiven him, let him be anathema. Close quote. In contrast, the gospel message recognizes, quote, that unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Close quote. Ephesians 4, verse 7. This gospel message encourages complete confidence in the gift of that grace. Number 6. The Catholic view fails to see that the whole fallen human race which is in Adam is corporately in Christ by virtue of his sacrifice. The gospel message sees sin as a continual unbelieving resistance of Christ, who will draw all men unto himself if they will stop resisting. Christ has already tasted the second death for everyone, and thus no one can suffer at last for his sins unless he disbelieves and rejects what Christ has already done for him. That's John 12:32, Hebrews 2:9, and John 3:17 and 18. Number 7. Thus, the Catholic Church flatly denies that justification is by faith alone. When they say that justification, quote, makes righteous, close quote, their idea is diametrically opposed to that of the gospel message. Catholic justification is infused, inherent, meritorious, and not solely of faith. They say, quote, no one ought to flatter himself up with faith alone, fancying that by faith alone he is made an heir and will obtain the inheritance. Close quote. That's the Council of Trent, chapter 11. In conclusion, the gospel breaks through centuries of Catholic and Protestant fog into a clearer view of the sunlit New Testament truth. This is the end of the appendix, and this brings to an end the reading of Powerful Good News.